As we come to the portion of Scripture that I'm going to be focusing on today, what we have seen develop is this. The Shulamite bride came into a brand new experience with God. Her heart was open. She had an emotional encounter with Him, and it blessed her so completely that she said, "I forever want to be with You. I want to make my life about You alone. Draw me to Yourself and let us run life together. You are my portion in this world." She was totally engaged in a passionate, fiery love for her bridegroom. Yet as time went on, she found herself feeling disconnected from Him. And I applied that last week to our lives, that oftentimes in our first journey with the Lord, in our early days of walking with God, those days when we first experienced salvation, it felt like God was so close to us. But somehow, for many of us, as time went on, we got to a place where we felt like we ran into a dry spell, where we didn't feel as emotionally engaged or connected to the Spirit as we first were when we first came to know Him. And it's at that juncture that we find ourselves in today, where the Shulamite bride, after having this great experience where she said the king had brought me into his chamber, where her heart was so open to his love, where she experienced him in such a powerful, rich way, she went from that, not long afterwards, to calling out to him and saying, "Where are you?" And Jesus spoke to her. And he said, "If you do not know most beautiful amongst women, let me tell you." And that's where I left off last week. We're in chapter 1, verse number 8. And the first thing that he told her was that she needs to be in fellowship with his other children. And so he says, if you yourself do not know most beautiful among women, he says, number one, do this. You want to be close to me? You want to feel more engaged with my Spirit? He said, do this. Go forth on the trail of the flock. And I made application there again last week. We need to be in fellowship with the rest of God's children. Get in a Bible study. If you're homebound, invite people over to your home to have fellowship with. If you pray with people on the phone if you need to. If you have an able body, find a fellowship somewhere to be engaged with. Because the truth is, our relationship with God is not just about Him and us. There's so many people today, it's becoming an epidemic where they say, "I'm spiritual." And what they mean by that is their spirituality is just about themselves and God. But what they don't realize is that a lot of their spirituality is not really God, it's just being self-absorbed. Because true spirituality in the kingdom is not meant to be lived alone. You see, the life that we've been called into is life in the kingdom. The kingdom is part of the ministry of the king and his people. In other words, a kingdom involves not just God and one person. It involves God and all his people. As I said last week, this is why the letters of Paul were not written to specific people so much as they were written to bodies of believers, to the church at Ephesus, to the church at Thessalonica, to the church at Corinth. And it's about a body. One's an arm, one's a leg, Paul says, one's an ear. We all play a different part to serve each other. And so we can't lead the life of the kingdom alone. It just doesn't work because we're called, number one, to receive God's Spirit through the lives of the rest of His children. You impart something to me, and then I impart something to you. We're part of a body. So the first thing he tells the Shulamite bride here, listen, you're feeling disconnected. You need to understand, to feel my presence all the time, you need to be involved with the rest of my people. Get connected to a community. And so I want to challenge you today, in whatever way you're able to, depending on your health status, your age, etc., whatever way you're able to, seek out a community. If you think you can do it alone, you're going to miss so much of not only what God wants to do in you, but what God wants to do through you. Because He's given each of us a gift, and somehow He wants us to be able to use our gift to be a blessing to somebody else. Listen, people think that to be rich, you have to possess a lot of things. But there's a lot of people that possess a lot of things that are completely bankrupt in their soul. I mean, we could have stories, tell stories of people that were so rich and they lived in multi, million dollar mansions and they spent all their time in their bedroom laying in bed. Or they spent all their time in isolation in their own mansion, totally oppressed, totally afflicted in their mind and soul. Why? Because they were alone. You see, the person that's rich, hear me, the person that's rich is not the person that possesses everything. The person that's rich is the person that gives the most. Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. The point that I'm making is Jesus said to this woman that wasn't experiencing God at this stage in her journey the way that she wanted to, He gave her a corrective measure to get involved in a community, to get with His flock. And one of the reasons He wanted her there is so that she could give. You see, the person that is rich is the person that gives. God has created us to be a blessing to other people. Think about it. God created you and I not just to accumulate things for ourselves. That is a complete defiled mentality. God created us to give. God so loved the world that He gave. Greater is He that gives than he that receives. And so it's important if you and I are to live a life in the Spirit, to feel connected, to feel close to Jesus, is to be part of a community where we can add something. You may not think that much what you add is much, but believe me, it is. And if you just use the gifts and the talents, it doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to say, well, I have the gift of this or I have the gift of this. Just be yourself and just look to give. Just look to be a blessing. That's a real strong point, beloved one. I know it's simple and it may not even seem, you know, that exciting to you, but it's powerful. I mean, we need to connect ourselves to other believers and look for ways to be a blessing. And when we do that, the Spirit of God will flow through us, and in addition, we'll also be receiving charge in our life, spiritual charge from those other people that we're connected to. So let's continue on. The first thing He says, go forth in the trail of the flock. Secondly, He says this, which connects to what I just said. He said, and pasture your young goats. This has to do with what I was just speaking about. It has to do with service. And so pastoring is serving. It's taking care of people. Remember Peter, when Peter met Jesus after Jesus had risen from the dead? And Jesus said to Peter three times, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus said what to Peter? Well, Peter, if you love me, He said, pasture my people, tend my lambs. And the same is true for you and I today. To walk with Jesus, to walk close with Him, to walk arm in arm with Him, we have to be serving people. We have to be pastoring people. You might say, well, I'm not a pastor. And I know for many of you, you're not standing in the office of a pastor. But let me ask you this. Is there some little one that you can help? Jesus said, tend to my lambs, pastor my little ones. Is there a grandchild you can pastor in the things of the Lord? My wife, Cynthia, that many of you know by television, you know how she came to the Lord? Through her grandmother. Her grandmother told her about Jesus. Her grandmother was her foundation of faith. Her grandmother is long gone. But that simple, childlike way that Cynthia's grandmother shared Jesus with her brought Cynthia a faith and brought her into the kingdom. So I'm saying to you, yes, I know that most of you, you're not standing in the office of a pastor. You don't pastor a congregation. But is there somebody that you can minister to? Is there somebody that you can encourage? Look for somebody. I promise you, God will give you somebody to minister to, somebody to be a blessing to. Jesus said to the Shulamite bride, if you want to feel close to me, you've got to pastor somebody. You've got to serve somebody. I know that some of you think, well, I'm not spiritually mature. I don't know the Bible that well. You know what? Do the best you can. God will use you and He'll bless you and you'll be happy for it. And then finally, the third thing He says to her is this. He said, do it among the shepherds. He said, do this, pasture your young goats by the tents of the shepherds. And this simply means this, is that don't just be someone that rebels against all authority. You know, don't be someone that criticizes all the, you know, there are so many people, they go to church and the first thing they do after the message, you've heard this before, is that, you know, they get in the car and they, you know, tear down something about the service, complain about something the pastor said. Beloved, watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. I know there's a lot of imperfection in the world. I know there's a lot of imperfection in the church. I know there's a lot of imperfection with our leaders. I know it. It's frustrating. But you know what? It doesn't discount the fact that the Lord still works through authority. Because without authority, everything is chaos. God uses authority to bring order into chaos. So we have to conduct our lives recognizing that God works through the principle of authority. Do it, beloved, under the shepherd of your local community. Let's continue on. I love this next section. as we go now to chapter number 2. Hear the Word of God. Now, I know it's confusing.